following messages from New Life Gillette Series Together. This week, Pastor Mike brings us part one of this series.
Hey, we're starting a new series today that is about marriage. Do we have any married people in the room? Any married people in the room? Okay, all right. We're about, seems like half and half-ish. And so to those of you who are not married, you should know that there's going to be plenty of material in here for you, especially if you plan to get married today. We would all hope that these are some things that we can learn ahead of time and figure out ahead of time so that our marriages are better. The last two series, we've talked about two characters from the Old Testament of the Bible, two Jewish heroes of the faith. We talked about Moses in a series, and we talked about his life story, and then we talked about Joshua. We did just finish the warrior series where we talked about the life of Joshua. Today, we're going to read a story that actually involves both Joshua and Moses and some of their most loyal supporters, and we're going to see how these two, who now we know their stories, supported each other. And we read the story in Exodus chapter 17. It goes like this. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Pick out some men to go and fight the Amalekites tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill holding my stick that God told me to carry." Joshua did as Moses commanded him and went out to fight the Amalekites, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his arms, the Israelites won. But when he put his arms down, the Amalekites started winning. When Moses' arms grew tired, Aaron and Hur brought a stone for him to sit on. How many people are involved in this battle, by the way? You got the fighters. He says, select some fighters, go out and fight. You've got Joshua, who's leading the fighters. You've got Moses holding the stick that God told him to hold. You've got Aaron and Hur, who are now supporting him. Aaron and Hur brought a stone for him to sit on while they stood beside him and held up his arms, holding them steady until the sun went down. In this way, Joshua totally defeated, annihilated the Amalekites. I've been going to Club Energize three times a week now for a year with Mitch and Zach and lifting weights. And I'll just be completely honest with you. It's intimidating. Like, I remember the first time I walked into Club Energize. This is not one of those like little side gyms. This is one of these like buff man gyms. And I walk in to Club Energize looking like this, and people are like, "Who are you and why are you here?" Because it's not obvious by looking at me. And then it just becomes more intimidating because you got all these John Laughlin, Levi Kissick types walking around whose arms can't even touch their sides and grunting and all this stuff. And I'm just intimidated. Just going into a gym is intimidating. And so I'm, excuse me, can I use that weight? I don't know what it does, but... sir, can I use that squat machine? I'm just going to lift. He's like, "That's a water fountain." I'm like, "I mean, I know I'm thirsty, need a drink." But eventually I started getting the hang of it and figuring out what some of the equipment and all that stuff did. And I realized that if I stick with this, I'm going to have to know more than just these five exercises that I'm going to do over and over and over again. And so I started learning some more exercises. And one of the things that happens a lot in a weight room is you have guys spotting for other guys, like help them out if they are having a hard time lifting a weight. And so I realized someday I may be strong enough to spot for somebody. Maybe not. Someday somebody's going to say, "Hey, Mike, will you spot me?" And I'm going to have to say yes, or else I'm going to look like an idiot. So I Googled, "How do you spot for somebody?" And an article pops up and it says, how to spot on bench press. I was like, okay, I guess I need to learn that one. So I click on the article, and the article pops up five rules to follow when spotting for somebody if you ever get strong enough to do so. And so today I would like to just share with you these five spotting rules. And for those of you who don't know what spotting is, first of all, let's be friends because I bet we have a lot in common. A spotter is a lifter who is there to help another lifter who's muscles are giving out on them. They're not able to lift the weight. And so instead of just dropping the weight on their neck, you help them, specifically in bench pressing, you help them by giving them a little extra muscle to lift the weight. And today we're going to talk about how this correlates. We're going to compare it to the way we support each other in our relationships. We're going to talk specifically a lot today about marriages. So the first thing that pops up in this article about how to spot is ask how many reps the lifter is attempting. Like, you're not much of a help if you're standing over top of someone, which, by the way, is very awkward. Like, you got the spotter standing over the head of the person lifting, and you're standing there, and at some point you're going to wonder, should I keep encouraging, or are they done? And so you need to ask ahead of time, what's your goal? So let me ask you this about your marriages. How well do you and your spouse communicate your goals to each other? How well do you communicate what you're going to, your goals for your marriage and for your personal goals in life? How well do you communicate those? Because what sociologists, psychologists will tell us is that your chances of success skyrocket if you've communicated your goals to somebody else. Number one, you kind of feel like you're on the hook now. I told somebody I'm going to do this, now I kind of got to do it. Number two, you've got somebody there who can encourage you, who can be a cheerleader for you, who can give you ideas or tips or input on how to accomplish your goal. You've also got somebody who can hold you accountable, who when you start backing away from the effort that is required to fulfill your goal, they can say, what are you doing? Get to work. They can be your accountability. Your chances of success skyrocket if you have somebody else who knows about your goal, especially in marriages. Because I don't know if you recognize this, but in a marriage, it is two people becoming one person. You kind of need to be able to communicate to the other person what your goals are. Because if you start going after goals that you don't even know the other person is going after, your marriage is going to struggle, right? Second rule of spotting someone, motivate the lifter. Now, in the weight room, it sounds a lot like, come on. One more, you can do it. And they start slapping each other and grunting. And I'm not sure why they do the slapping each other thing, but apparently it helps. I don't allow anybody to slap me because I'm still weak. But they're cheering and yelling and encouraging each other in a weight room. I think in a way that we could do in our marriages, maybe with less slapping, but more cheering. So when your husband tells you that he wants to lose weight, you encourage him. You support him. You tell him you can do it. You cheer him on. You also support him by not eating potato chips in front of him. You encourage him. Eating potato chips in front of me while I'm trying to lose weight is not encouragement. That's discouragement. She tells you that she wants to look at Facebook less on her phone. So you support her. You do what you can to help her. Maybe that's by encouraging vocally, or maybe it's by not spending as much time on social media yourself. Maybe it's by being a social outlet for her so that she doesn't have to rely on Facebook for social interaction. You support, you encourage. The third rule, let the lifter do the lifting. This one seems obvious, but one thing that Zach, one of the first things he taught me when spotting is he said, don't touch the bar. Stay away from the bar. Let the person do the work. Because the goal of this exercise is not for you to do curls. It is for the lifter to do bench presses. The goal is for them to build their muscles, not for you to build your muscles at this time. We're going to take turns. You build your muscles, then I build my muscles, and then there's a break that happens in between. This is how it happens. Some of you are natural helpers. You're the type of person who just wants to jump in and help as soon as you can. It's a spiritual gift. This is a good gift to have. But with this spiritual gift, like all spiritual gifts, there comes the temptation to go in a direction with it you should not. Some of you are tempted to help when you shouldn't help. We've got a couple people like this on our staff who just are always ready to help. They will drop their own work and neglect their own work, miss their own deadlines so that they can stop and help you reach your deadlines, reach your goals. And that's good. That is a good temptation. But at some point you have to say, I am not actually helping you if I do all your work for you. And I'm definitely not helping myself if I don't get all my work done. This is why it is good in marriages to kind of have determined ahead of time what is whose responsibility. Let's divide up our chores. Let's divide up our responsibilities. Who's going to be in charge of different areas so that we can, at times, divide and conquer? Now, we support each other. We should help each other. But you can't do all the work for each other because all you're doing is keeping them from building muscles that need to be built. You've seen marriages where there is somebody in the marriage who is just a deadbeat. And usually what has happened, and not always, is one person in the marriage just kept carrying more and more and more weight. In marriages, we call this enabling. Letting them not carry weight. But we cannot allow ourselves to do this because the problem just gets worse and worse. For those of you who are parents in the room, you know how this works with your kids. When they're babies, they are worthless. Like, baby horses are born and they're like running around in circles and running the Kentucky Derby. Baby humans are born and they can't do a thing. They can't even burp themselves. You got to do everything for them. But as they grow, as they mature, slowly you start to hand off responsibility to them. Not because you can't do it, but because you shouldn't do it. I have a 4-year-old kid and handing off responsibility is like a full-time job right now. I'm going to teach you now how to put on your underwear. Now I'm going to teach you how to make your own drink. Now I'm going to hand off the responsibility of picking up your clothes. Now you are going to be in charge of picking up your toys. And we are just slowly giving more and more responsibility. Here's how you take care of yourself. And it's not because I can't help him put his clothes on. It's because I want him to know. I want him to lift that weight so that his muscles grow. So that later on in life, he's not the weirdo at school who can't put his own jacket on, right? We teach. And then your kids get older and it's different kinds of responsibilities. When they're younger, you have to teach them how to wipe their own bottoms. And you hope by the time they're teenagers, you don't have to teach them at that anymore. Now, some of your teenagers need some help from time to time, it seems from the smell at the youth group on Wednesday nights. As they're teenagers, you start handing off to them things like, you're going to pay for your own insurance. You can make your own food. Here are your chores. You can do your own dishes. You can do, and you start handing off more and more responsibility so that they can grow those muscles. So that by the time they get married, they can lift their own weight. So that they are a good spouse. So that they are a good husband. So that they are a good wife. Because if you have crippled your child, and you've done everything for them, then their future spouse is in for a surprise because they have not married an adult. They've married a child who has not built the muscles that need to be built. And we see this all the time in marriages. People who get married without having developed the skills that adults are assumed to have developed. And let me just say this. This will probably need to be said all throughout this series, but definitely right up front, I need to say that a marriage requires two people who are willing to put in the work necessary to develop their relational muscles. In order for a marriage to work, you have to have two people who are working on the marriage. If one person's a deadbeat, then the marriage is in trouble. If one person does nothing, the marriage will fail. The spotter in a relationship is pointless if the lifter doesn't want to lift. If somebody is just using the bench as a bed and just laying down on the weight bench and has no intention of lifting the weight, what is the point of the spotter? The spotter is now pointless. How many people have you seen in marriages that just seem like you're not lifting anything? You're putting in no effort here. In fact, you're kind of going in the opposite direction. It feels like you're kind of trying to sabotage it. The spotter is pointless. The helper is pointless if the lifter is not ready to lift some weight. You can't force that on somebody. They've got to be willing to put in some work. If you have to force him to help get the kids ready in the morning, you may get him to do it periodically, but your life is going to be miserable. If you have to help force her to do something that she's not willing to do or him that he's not willing to do, you can kind of force for a while. You can kind of do some curls and pretend like he's lifting some weight, but eventually you're not going to be able to do curls anymore. He's got to lift some weight. She's got to lift some weight. That's why only adults should get married. That's why when we see really young kids starting to get married, why we feel a hesitation, because we know that young kids have not developed the skills necessary for adulthood. By the time we get married, we should know how to care for ourselves. We should have learned lessons like dirty houses need to be cleaned. We should have learned lessons like people who are in debt should stop spending money. Adults, maturity. We should have learned how to manage our own schedule so that we're not late to everything we go to. Adults have learned hygiene habits, cleaning up after themselves, washing themselves, looking decent in front of people. Adults. Adults have learned how to manage their lives, and if they haven't, they are miserable spouses. So it's our job to help our kids learn how to be adults, and it's our job to be adults before we get married. Because powerful marriages require two people to be growing, not just one. So in this series, we are using the images of buttons on a, I keep wanting to say VCR, a DVD player. Those are even out of date. I don't even know. Your Alexa remote or whatever. And so we're going to talk about, you see the icons on the boards behind me. We've got powerful, play, pause, and forward. So this first week, we're talking about how do we have a powerful marriage. The second week, we're going to talk about how do we have play, fun, enjoyment in our marriages. The third week, we're going to talk about how to pause. When a pause is necessary, when an argument is happening, how do we pause and work on what needs to be worked on? And then in the fourth week, we're going to talk about missional marriages. How do we move forward together in our marriages and do something that's not just totally focused on ourselves, but something that impacts our world? And a marriage cannot be powerful unless both people in the marriage are willing to put in the work to make it powerful. So if you have two people willing to work on a marriage, which is our goal, then you are not helping the other person if you just lift all the weight for them. And then the fourth rule is ask the lifter if he or she is in need of help. When you see that the lifter is struggling to lift the weight and motivating is not working, slapping him in the chest is not working, then your job changes. You know, spotters have multiple jobs. They don't have the same job all the way through. Their jobs change. You're supposed to be able to do multiple jobs. And when you recognize that the lifter is in need of help, your job changes from cheerleader to rescuer, from encourager to savior. Your job changes. This is when you jump into action. The spotter is there to do what the lifter can't do. The lifter's muscles are at the end of their ability to lift. The spotter is there to pick up the weight. That's what's cool about the way God works. Usually, God uses other people to spot for us. And God could step in at any time and fix all your problems, lift all your weights for you, make everything work out nice for you, but that's not how God works. God usually uses your spouse, your partner, your best friend, your life group members, your mom. That's who usually who God uses to help you through a hard time, to help you when your muscles are giving out. But if none of them are around to help you, if none of them can help you because they're not strong enough, then he will. That's when God steps in. Hebrews 13:5 tells us that God said, "I will never fail you." He's strong enough, and he's available. He's not just present, he's powerful. He's with us, and he's strong enough to carry whatever weight we have to carry. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. God is spotting for you right now. He's there. He is ready to catch the weight before it drops on you. He is there to catch the weight when our muscles have reached the end of their ability to lift. And when our muscles give out and he spots for us, this is the temptation of guilt. This is the temptation we have to beat ourselves up when we fail. And the church, by the way, has just overused this guilt thing. The church that I grew up in loved it when you felt guilty because then they could get you to do what they wanted you to do. And what happens is when we're lifting weight and our muscles give out and we can't lift anymore and we fail and we feel miserable. God, I failed. God, I couldn't do it. I went on a mission. It was too much. I couldn't handle the weight. And so often I think God is saying, you didn't fail. You grew, you learned, and I was there to catch the weight. This is how you grow. This is how your muscles are built. When we're lifting weight, we want to get to the point where we need a spotter. Zach tells me pretty often that I'm not pushing myself enough. You want to get to the point where you can't lift anymore. You want to fail. This is what they literally call it, failing, when you can't get it up anymore. Because that's the point when your muscles are built. Next time, you're going to be able to do more. This is how God wants to work in our lives. He wants us to push so hard, work so hard, strive so hard to follow him and to accomplish things, to achieve, that we have to rely on him so that we can do more with his power than we ever could in our own. You didn't fail. You're becoming more powerful. You're growing. You're maturing. So you've heard churches talk about this guilt thing a lot, and they've tried to put guilt on their people to get them to do what they want them to do. You've also heard people talk about God like God is some slot machine, where if you do the right stuff, you get a bunch of stuff out of him. We call that the prosperity gospel. He's just always there to do whatever you want him to do. Just say the right words. But the prosperity gospel says God will just lift the weight for you. You don't even got to do anything. You just pray the right prayer and you act the right way and you don't screw up too much and boom, God will do it all. That is not what Scripture tells us about God. In fact, God says it will be hard. You will struggle. Your muscles will get out. Not if you're good enough, I'll do whatever you want me to do. God will just do it for me. God never promised to lift all the weight for you. In fact, he promised that lifting the weight would be hard. But the pain that results from lifting the hard weight will make you more powerful, will make you stronger. And thank God that he does that, right? None of us want to end up being weak. None of us want to end up being lazy, worthless people. We want our muscles to be developed so that in our lives, we don't have to spend all our time trying to focus on becoming adults. But as adults, we can actually live effective lives. Nobody wants to be worthless. We want our muscles to be built, and God, because he loves us, helps us to build those muscles. Thank God that he doesn't do everything for us. We don't want to be atrophied. We don't want to be weak, worthless people. And that brings us to number 5. Help the lifter when he or she needs it. There's a good chance that you married your wife or your husband because he or she was very different than you are. Psychologists tell us that you are naturally attracted to people that are different than you are. In fact, usually if you're attracted to somebody who's too much like you, psychologists would tell you that there's some kind of imbalance. There's something wrong. That's not natural. We are created to be attracted to people who are different than us or who look different than us. And it goes even farther to people who have different skills than we do, to people who have different personalities than we do. And that is a good thing because there are times when you're not going to be able to lift a weight but that is a weight or it doesn't come natural to you or you don't have the gifting to do so or you haven't developed that skill. And it is good that you have a spouse who's able to do what you're not able to do. Who's able to be gentle when you're not able to be gentle? Who's able to be courageous when you're not able to be courageous? We want to have somebody in our lives who's different than us so that they can lift the weights. that we cannot. Okay, Zach and Mitch are going to come out here and do a little experiment for me. I told you I've been working out with Zach and Mitch on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at Club Energize. And, well, this is what we do. How many are you going to go for, Mitch?
I'm going to go for six.
Six?
Six.
Okay. Are we going to cheer them on? One.
Come on.
Get it up! Thanks, guys. My turn? No. I don't want to show off. So I'm fully aware of Mitch, what he usually lifts. And we tried this the other day. He couldn't get two up. So I think there's something about the adrenaline and lifting thing and encouragement thing that works in this. And the reality is I knew that at six, he would fail. Now he got a lot closer than I expected it to. Back there, he's patting himself on the back because he's feeling really good right now. But the reality is that the more we fail, the more we get to the edge of what we can do, the longer we go. Literally, 2 weeks ago, we tried this. He couldn't have gotten that same weight up twice. Why? Because he failed when he tried to do it twice. And you fail a couple more times, and you struggle a couple more times. And this is but what we've learned. Throughout our lives, you've learned it in the way you interact with people. You've learned it in the way that you do your jobs. You've learned it in the way you've earned money and the way you spend money. We've learned that muscles don't strengthen themselves. Muscles have to be fed and muscles have to be forced. It's the only way they get stronger is if you feed them the right stuff and if you force them past their limits. This is what makes muscles such a great metaphor for life. Because this is true about our lives too. What happens if you just let your muscles go? If you don't do anything to them, they die. This is true about our lives. They require effort. They require us to feed them the right things and to stretch them, to exercise them. Some things don't happen naturally. And like muscles, marriages don't strengthen themselves. Attraction can get it started, can get the ball rolling. You get into a relationship because you are attracted to something. Usually it's physical or sometimes it's an emotional thing, but you are attracted to something and that got you into the relationship. But that attraction is not going to strengthen the relationship. It just gets the ball rolling. It just gets things started. In order to strengthen a marriage, you have to work on it. The only thing you have to do, somebody told me this after church on Sunday, last Sunday. The only thing you have to do to destroy a marriage is what? Nothing. Just let it be. Let attraction bring you together and just expect that everything else is going to happen by itself. You've just destroyed it, a marriage. We've learned, though, that we have to force the bar up until it hurts to build the muscle. Men and women do not naturally communicate well with each other. We do not naturally talk to each other in such a way that things are trans. I can tell Darcy something, and then I'll ask her, tell me back to me what I just said, and what comes out of her brain, I'm like, that is not even the same topic. Like we do not naturally communicate well to each other. So we have to learn. We have to educate ourselves. We have to develop that muscle. The same is, and what is true about it, communication is usually true throughout a marriage. We have to build the muscles. Good marriages require constant exercise, practice, development. And that can happen intentionally, because we want to develop the marriage, or for those of us who are Christians, we believe that that can actually happen supernaturally too. We believe that because we are Christians, there are times in our lives when we are not willing to do what needs to be done, And God steps in and stretches our muscles anyway and grows our muscles anyway. Usually it's through pain. Good marriages require constant exercise, even if it's exercise that is enforced by God. God may push you harder than you are willing to push yourself. He may stick more weight on the bar than you're willing to put on the bar. So he will teach us when we're willing, and he will also teach us occasionally when we're not willing. And even though we won't like it, we should be thankful that he will, because he will grow us to a point that we would have never grown ourselves. Here's the good news. God knows how much your muscles can handle. He knows what your limits are. And when you are on the edge, when you can go no further, at just the right time, he will be there. He will never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes we're lifting as much as we think we can lift, and God's encouraging you, and he's telling you, no, you can go one more. I know you said your goal was 6, but you should have set your goal at 10. Let's keep going. And he's encouraging you, and he's doing what he can to press you forward, because he knows what you can handle. You don't. And if we don't give up, if we don't abandon him, if we don't run out on the marriage, if we don't give up on the goal, at just the right time, he will grab the weight and he will lift what you cannot. Sometimes God has to allow something painful in our lives to get us where he needs us to be. Because when we got saved, when we surrendered our life to God, when we said, will you be the Lord of my life? What we said was, will you make me who you created me to be, not who I want to be? Will you turn me into the person that you knit me together in my mother's womb to become? Will you do that? And when we asked him to do that, we gave him permission to pull our muscles, to stretch our muscles, to break our muscles so that they would build. And there are people here today who were driven to the edge by COVID-19. There were a couple times you were in your house and you were just thinking, the other adult in my house is not acting like an adult. The other person in my house is driving me crazy. Can you get out of my house? There are a couple times in this COVID-19 season where you thought, there are too many demons in my sanctuary. I've had two, that's not a good time, amen. I've seen a lot of this today. I don't know what's going out there. I've had too much of this homeschooling. These kids are driving me crazy. And you're thinking, this is all I can take. This is enough. But you kept going because you had to. And now you're kind of thinking, I think I can make it. I got a little relief. I think I can make it. And then you started thinking, if I just had a bigger house, this weight is too much. A bigger house would lighten the load. If I just had fewer kids, I don't know how you're going to achieve that one. But this is just too heavy. And at just the right times, we recognize, you know what? I made it farther than I thought I could. And God helped me through some things that I couldn't make it through on my own. And I thought I was going to break, but I didn't. And through COVID-19, I'm guessing there were times when you thought you were going to break, but you didn't. And now you're thinking, okay, I can do this. And next year, school time is going to come back around and you're going to be saying, thank God, take my kids, get them out of my house. You know what happened? What happened was you were homeschooled. You grew. You developed muscles that you didn't know were weak. God was building your muscles, and now you're thankful for school in a way you never were before. And now you're able to do more now than you ever were before. If your relational muscles are giving out, God can handle the weight. He can step in and he can help you. Maybe your spouse is bailing. Maybe the person you're in relationship with is not pulling any weight and you can't carry it on your own. There are times when we just kind of got to fall back on God and say, I don't have a person here with me, so I need you. And in just the right time, he will step in and spot you. He will give you the encouragement that you need. He will never leave you or forsake you. But if we have not reached that point, and if your marriage is struggling, learn to spot for each other. Learn to be the adult who doesn't just carry his own weight, but also is able to carry weight for the person he's in relationship with or she's in relationship with. Motivate each other, help each other, support each other, and over time, your relationship muscles will grow. And if you have two people in a relationship who are both willing to work, both willing to grow, you have a marriage that will succeed. If both people, even through pain, even through struggle, even through pushing beyond what we think we can push, if you have two people who are willing to grow, you have a marriage that will succeed. And if you're in one of those relationships, if you're about to give up on a relationship, hear God encouraging you to persevere. He's saying, you can do it. Give him one more chance. Try to work it out. Stay faithful. And God oftentimes in our relationships encourages us with each other. Sometimes he does it through a song. Sometimes he does it through a scripture passage. Sometimes he does it through a coworker who says the right thing at just the right time, or you heard a sermon and it felt like the message was just going straight to you, or whatever it was, God can encourage you. And hear his encouragement and allow that encouragement to help you to persevere. When your muscles are about to give out, allow that encouragement to strengthen you and look around you to see who's willing to fight this battle with me, who's willing to spot for me, who's willing to lift for me. And I see a lot of awesome marriages around this room. And the ones that stand out to you, the ones that are remembered to you as the ones that were really strong, were not just the ones where they figured out how to be adults. We're not just the ones who figured out how to lift the weight of their own marriage, but were the ones who had developed their marriage muscles enough that lifting their own marriage was easy, that their own relationship was easy and it was actually a blast. So much so that they had extra strength left over so that they could help you through your marriage, so that they could help you through your time in need of need, so that they could encourage you when you were feeling down at your edge. The great marriages are not the ones that have just figured out how to survive, but are the ones that have figured out how they can help other people, how they can find a young couple and mentor and love. Because here's what I know about our church. If we're just a bunch of people who figured out how to survive, if we're just a bunch of people who figured out how to call ourselves Christians and get to heaven someday, then we're worthless. Yeah, maybe we're Christians, but what are we accomplishing? Our faith without works is dead. It's time for us to build our muscles to the point where we can support each other. We can love each other. There are life group leaders in this room who need to see themselves as pastors who are not just trying to survive their lives, but are who are pastoring their flock, who are pastoring their life group, who are loving people and giving their muscles to people, who are spotting for people that they don't have to spot for because they don't live in the same house for them as them, but they're living their life on a mission in such a way that they are making a difference in our world. That is what our church has to become. Not just of self-feeders, but of feeders of others. That's what maturity looks like. That's where we got to get our muscles. God, I thank you for the incredibly generous and faithful marriages that I see when I look around this room. God, would you help us to build our lives on the firm foundation of biblical truth so that when the rains come, when COVID-19 hits, when relational problems hit, when communications problems happen, when the storms come, our houses stand strong on the foundation, the solid rock of your truth. God, help us to do life together and quit trying to lift our weight on our own. Help us to learn to support each other in our times of need. Remove every selfish desire in us that wants to make our goals about us, our dreams and our motivations about us, and instead make us people who set goals that are more about helping others than about helping ourselves. Show us how to love sacrificially like you love. Thank you for creating us different, with different skills and abilities, so that we can support each other in a way that is meaningful. And God, it is a scary prayer to pray, but would you build our muscles even when we are not going willingly? Even when I've put too light a weight on the bar, would you add the weight that you know I can lift? Give me the courage to do what I cannot do on my own, but only with your help. I love you in Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.